This New York Times podcast is brought to you by Ford and voice-activated Sync, the in-car connectivity system that features hands-free calling. Just say the name of the person you want to call, and Sync dials the number, which means you can keep your eyes on the road and your hands on the wheel. Sync is a system that's subscription-free, and it's available exclusively on Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury vehicles. For more details, visit SyncMyRidePodcast.com.
Another oil platform explodes in the Gulf of Mexico. BP gets tough with Congress. A new poll finds that large numbers of New Yorkers oppose a Muslim community center near Ground Zero, and students are wavering in their support for Democrats. I'm Jane Bornemeyer. We'll look at these stories and more on the front page of Friday's New York Times. In our top story, another oil platform exploded and caught fire in the Gulf of Mexico on Thursday morning, forcing 13 workers overboard. All were rescued. There were mixed reports Thursday afternoon about an oil sheen nearby. The company, Mariner Energy, insisted there had been no leak. The explosion unnerved a region still recovering from the environmental and financial toll of the months-long spill at a BP well this year. It was unclear what touched off the blast, but a Mariner spokesman said crews had been painting and sandblasting at the time. The Times' Matt Wald explains.
The good part is, because they weren't drilling, they had shut off the well before they started. That doesn't mean no oil was present, but it means there was not this direct pathway to this endless underground reservoir as there was in the Deepwater Horizon.
That was the Times' Matt Wald. The explosion touched off a fire that had been contained but not extinguished by the afternoon. The production platform was positioned in relatively shallow waters and was not affected by an Obama administration moratorium on deep water drilling. Also at the top of the page, requests keep coming in for BP to provide additional money to the Gulf Coast to help mitigate the effects of the explosion on its Deepwater Horizon rig in April. At the same time, many members of Congress want to bar the company from future drilling in the Gulf because of its safety record. Until very recently, BP has remained quiet about the inherent conflict between the demands to pay more and earn less. But the multinational oil giant is now warning Congress that if lawmakers pass legislation that bar the company from new offshore drilling permits, it might not have the money to pay for all the damages caused by the spill. The Gulf operations account for 11% of BP's global oil and gas production. Two-thirds of New York City residents want a planned Muslim community center and mosque to be moved to a less controversial site away from Ground Zero in Lower Manhattan. That's according to a new New York Times poll. Even those who favor the project prefer that it be relocated, the poll says. The poll indicates that support for the 13-story complex is tepid and uncertain at best in its hometown. Supporters are mainly Manhattan liberals. Overall, 50% of those surveyed oppose its construction two blocks north of the Trade Center site, even though a majority believe that the developers have the right to construct it. Here's a sampling of the responses to the poll, which was taken the last week of August.
This could be a presence of Muslim activity in case future terrorists wanted to come back and destroy a future World Trade Center building.
If we could only take the inflammation, take the anger and hurt out of this and think, should people be able to worship as they please in the United States? And as a newly minted citizen of only a few years, I say yes, absolutely.
Opposition is most intense in the city's outer boroughs, 54% in the Bronx, but it's even strong in Manhattan, which has long been considered a bastion of religious tolerance. 41% of the people polled were against it. I'll be back with more of Friday's Front Page after this message.
This New York Times podcast is brought to you by Ford and voice-activated Sync, the in-car connectivity system that features hands-free calling. Sync connects to most Bluetooth-enabled phones and then listens to the sound of your voice. So just say the name of the person you want to call, and Sync dials their number. With Sync, you'll never miss a call, and you can keep your eyes on the road and your hands on the wheel. Sync is a system that's subscription-free, and it's available exclusively on Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury vehicles. For more details, visit SyncMyRidePodcast.com.
From Kabul, Afghanistan, Dexter Filkins writes that a principal owner of the Afghan bank that's at the center of an accelerating financial crisis in Kabul said depositors have withdrawn $180 million in the past 2 days. He predicted a revolution in the country's financial system unless the Afghan government and the United States moved quickly to help stabilize the bank. The news came as Afghan leaders took the first steps toward arresting the panic, which began earlier this week when the country's top banking officials demanded the resignation of two of the bank's executives. Afghan and American officials say the two men presided over the bank in a reckless and free-willing manner, doling out millions to allies of President Hamid Karzai and pouring money into risky investments that went bust. The bank's nosedive and the corruption associated with it are posing a direct challenge to the country's fledgling financial system, which was built under American guidance following the collapse of the Taliban government in 2001. In a news conference in Kabul, President Karzai promised that the Afghan government would guarantee all deposits at the threatened institution. Back in the United States, the college vote is up for grabs this year to an extent that would have seemed unlikely 2 years ago when a generation of young people seemed to swoon over Barack Obama. Though many students are liberals on social issues, the economic reality of a weak job market has taken a toll on their loyalties. Declining numbers of 18 to 25-year-olds identify themselves as Democrats. That's according to the nonprofit Pew Research Center. How and whether millions of college students vote will help determine whether Republicans win enough seats to retake the House or Senate. And that will determine the balance of power on Capitol Hill and with it Mr. Obama's agenda. If students tune out and stay home, it will also carry a profound message for American society about a generation that seems so ready so recently to grab national politics by the lapels and shake. One place where those questions are in play is in Larimer County, Colorado, about an hour north of Denver, where more than 25,000 students attend Colorado State University. Once solidly Republican, Larimer, which went Democratic in the last few elections, as did Colorado, is now contested by both sides. Many students, especially seniors nearing graduation, said that worries about the economy and getting a job have filtered through the campus, dampening enthusiasm for Democrats in Congress and Mr. Obama in the White House. And finally, something else has changed on many college campuses across America. Universities are investing in once obscure sports that don't come close to paying for themselves, even in the face of dire budget cuts. Winning in all sports is what matters now, and the message is driven home from the highest levels of the universities. One example is at the University of Florida, where the athletic director has a budget of almost $95 million, and it's growing. He also has command of three private planes. He oversees a newly renovated and certified green building, as well as nearly a dozen other tricked-out facilities that are among the most prized on campus. Even as the University of Florida cuts faculty and budgets, its athletic director has been expanding a formidable empire dedicated to winning championships, not just in football and men's basketball, but in 19 other sports. Overall, spending on sports has increased among universities. The reason, university officials say, is that the emphasis on sports pays off. Athletics serve as the front porch of a university, a powerful marketing tool that generates free advertising on ESPN and the sports pages. And that's a preview of the front page of Friday's New York Times. From the New York Times newsroom, I'm Jane Bornemeyer.